teaching Sunday school. And I'm grateful to be standing before you all again. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you saying thank you. Thank you, God, for bringing us through another week. God, allowing us to rise again, allowing us to come into your house of worship, allowing us to worship and praise your name. God, we give you all honor and praise. We ask that you have your way in this service this morning, God. Touch me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. God, remove anything that is not pleasing to you and fill me with your Holy Spirit, God, that your people may be able to receive your word. God, I thank you for what you're going to do, and I give you all praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So this morning, I want to talk about how to make it through tough times. I know many of you know the past 3 weeks of my life have been absolutely crazy. A lot of unexpected twists and turns. And the recent events have taken me on sort of an emotional roller coaster. And if I can be transparent, there have been days where I have not been okay. And it takes you time to get through those mental and emotional roller coasters sometimes. But even in this, I have been seeking God more and more, because tough times should push you closer to God. So this morning, I want to talk about how to make it in those crazy times, in those tough moments in life. And before I go on, please understand that we are going to have breaking points. That doesn't mean that we have lost faith, and it doesn't mean that we have given up. It just means we're going to have moments where we just break. But when you break, remember that God can use those broken pieces. He can take the brokenness and make a masterpiece. Yeah, it is. Sometimes it is very necessary to go through those breakings. So the first scripture that I'm going to come with is Psalm 46, verse 1. And it says, God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present help and well-proved help in trouble. And that's the Amplified version. The definition of refuge is a condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. The word impenetrable has two different definitions, two different meanings. The first is to be impossible to pass through or enter, inaccessible to ideas or influences. And the second definition means impossible to understand or a mystery. When the scripture says God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, what I got from that was God is our shelter, our safe place that is impossible to pass through or enter. He's not open to ideas or influences, and his strength is a mystery to us. In other words, the protection that God provides covers us in a way that sometimes doesn't even make sense. When God is our protector, when God is our safe place, nothing can overtake us. When the scripture goes on to say a very present help in trouble, that means that we are not alone. To be present means being, existing, occurring at this time or now, to come forth or to appear. We must remember that God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere all at the same time. We must remember that Even in the craziest situations, our God is right there with us. We may feel alone, but we are never alone. We can make it in troubled times when we remember that God is with us and he is protecting us. And sometimes we forget that. And I know for myself, when I get to those moments where I'm going through things, I feel like I am by myself. And sometimes I'm looking like, God, where are you? I can't feel you. I can't see you. God, where are you right now? Where are you right now? And I'm going to tell y'all, 2 weeks ago, well, 3 weeks ago on that Saturday, when I look in my rearview mirror and see my son's head falling back and eyes rolling, and I'm driving, and I'm in a third lane over, I'm like, God, what is going on? God, what is going on? What is happening right now? So we have to remember that even in those moments, he's present. He is present. If we look at Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, it says, "But now that is what the Lord, your creator, says. O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you from captivity. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flames burn you. For I am the Lord your God, Holy One of Israel, your Savior." Here, God is continuing to remind us that he is with us. No matter the conditions, he will protect us. And my thing in that scripture, I always think about when you go through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames won't touch you. But I think about the fact that even when I go through the fire, when I come out, I ain't gonna smell like smoke. He not even gonna let me smell like smoke. But when you go through the fire, you're going to come out looking like pure gold. I'm going to come out looking. I'm not going to look or smell like what I just went through, but I'm going to come out looking like pure gold. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. Think about when the three Hebrew boys were thrown in the fiery furnace. And they're in there, and they just walking around in the fire. And they say it looked like it's a fourth person in there. Because he was in there with them. That should be a reminder for us that he is with us even in the fire. They said that fire was so hot that they couldn't even get close to the furnace because those who got close to the furnace died. That's how hot it was. I mean, and just think about it. And they walked out, and they didn't smell like smoke. Think about that. When we go through the fire, he's with us. He's covering us. He's keeping us. Whew, I could keep going. But Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Scripture says, "When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a violent storm arose on the sea. So the boat was being covered by waves, but Jesus was sleeping. And the disciples went and woke him up, saying, 'Lord, save us, we are going to die.' He said to them, 'Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was at once a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peacefulness. The men wondered in amazement, saying, 'What kind of man is this that even the winds and sea obey him. Each time I read this scripture, I think about Jesus resting and sleeping peacefully on this boat. And they said the waves was covering the boat, so I'm sure that he was being splashed by water. But he's sitting there asleep in the middle of this storm. And the disciples are panicking. Because that's what we do. Instant panic mode. And they run over to Jesus. And they wake him up. And I sometimes think about what his facial expression was when they woke him up. Because, you know when you get in a good rest, you ain't been able to sleep in a while, and one of your kids come and wake you up, and you think it's something like really bad going on, and you wake up and you're like, what? Can you imagine Jesus? He's sleeping. I don't know if this is like the first time we've heard of him being asleep at a point, but he was resting, and I'm sure he needed that. And they wake him up, and they say, we about to die, and you sleep. And Jesus looks at them, and he says, what is wrong with y'all? Why are y'all scared? First off, they did not know who they were on the boat with. They couldn't have. No matter how much they had traveled with him, seen him do all these wonderful miracles, they still don't know who's on the boat. And they like, we about to die. And you asking us why we afraid. Look at this storm. And Jesus says, y'all have the littlest of faith. No faith at all. And he just tells the winds and the waters, chill out. Because that's what I could see him doing. Just because you just woke me up out of my sleep, and I'm thinking it's something real bad. And it's just the storm. All right, chill out. And they looking at him like, did he just tell the seas and the water and the wind to chill out? And it stopped? And that should have told them what kind of man they was on the boat with. What kind of power the man on the boat with them had. But it didn't. They still standing there in amazement. Like, what the just happened? What the what? Like, how did that just happen? But that's us. That's us. When trials come, we panic. Instant panic mode. We run to fear. We panic. So we allow fear to operate in us. We focus on bills, the workload, the diagnosis, the problem, instead of who we serve. So as the disciples were afraid when they saw the vicious storm, we become afraid when we see all of these different circumstances. But I hear Jesus saying, where is your faith? Sometimes I wonder if we realize that Jesus is on the boat with us. Being on the boat with us will stop us from being afraid. If we realize that Jesus is walking through our daily life with us, will we ever stop being afraid? They had the Savior right there on the boat with them, and they didn't understand the power that was on the boat with them. So when Jesus spoke to the storm and it ceased, they were amazed. When we begin to realize who our Savior is, we can begin to walk in faith and not fear. When going through tough times, faith is key. Even though we can't see the outcome, or even see what's to come, we can trust that it will work out for our good, because he said that it would. He said that it would. Faith is a major key, but remember, faith might be a little hard to come by. That's why he says if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, it can move a mountain. When I think of that, I think about the fact that faith must be pretty difficult to come by if he's saying you just got to have this itty bitty amount of faith to move a humongous mountain. And he said it several times, oh, ye of little faith, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Because a lot of times we not operating in faith. We operate in fear. Psalm 62, 1 through 2. It says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. This scripture should be our attitude during trials and tests. This should be our attitude. This should have been the attitude of disciples on the boat. It should have been. They were right there with their shelter, their salvation, and their fortress, right on the boat. We should be able to rest peacefully in any situation or circumstance because God is everything that we need. Nothing should be able to move us. We should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We should not be moved by what we see, what we hear, or what we feel. Knowing that God is our rock and salvation and our fortress. Remember, he is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. The problem with remembering this can be that we went into panic mode. For example, I'm going to use myself today. In that car, like I told y'all, I'm in the third lane. I see my son's head falling back. His eyes rolling. He's drooling. And I'm screaming, Jesus. And I'm in the third lane, y'all. I'm in panic mode. I'm panicking. I literally cut through three lanes of traffic to get off the road. That's panic because you're desperate at that point. You're desperate at that point, and you ain't conscious of nothing that you are doing right now. I literally cut all them cars off. And not seeing that Jesus is there because he had to be there, me not to get hit in any of those three lanes. He was present in the panic mode. He was present, but I was panicking. I get out the car. I did not close the door. I don't even know if I was all the way off the freeway, y'all. Because my focus was, let me get this baby. I snatched my son out of his car seat. And he's laying in my arms, not responding. And what I did remember to do was call on the name of Jesus. If there was nothing else I remembered, it was calling on Jesus. And I'm screaming, Jesus, because at this point, where are you? Yes, I'm panicking. I'm going crazy right now. Where are you at? And I'm screaming. Because, yeah, I'm in panic mode. But I did remember to call on him. The problem is sometimes we get in panic mode and we grow amnesia and we don't call on the name of Jesus. Sometimes we in that panic mode, but we refuse to call on the name of Jesus. We refuse to remember that he is our present help. Right there, right in that moment. No matter what it looks like. Because what it looked like to me was I was losing my baby right then and there. He wasn't moving. He wasn't breathing. He wasn't responding. And I'm screaming, Jesus, please do something, like right now. And I'm on the phone with 911, and I'm screaming Jesus in their ear. I said, if anybody ever heard that 911 call, they'd be like, well, she knew the Lord. I knew who to call on. Yeah, I'm calling y'all to come help me, but I know who I can call right now. But in panic mode, we get there. In our troubles, And we look at the trouble more than we look at the trouble solver. We look at the problem, we look at the circumstance more than we look at our Redeemer, our Savior. We forget that he is there with us. Just like they forgot he was on the boat and who he was. He's asleep. We about to die. Now, I'd have been asleep with Jesus. If he's asleep, we must be straight. He ain't panicking. Let me go curl up with him because I know he's going to be all right. But we don't do that. We too busy trying to, how we going to get out of this storm? Ain't no way out. What we going to do? This, we about to drown to death. Like, we looking at all of the other issues. We focus on the wrong thing. We focus on the wrong thing. And people might say, oh, it's valid. Your son was, he was dying in your arms. No, I'm focusing on Jesus. Where are you at? I can't fix this. I don't know if they can fix this. I need you to fix this. Because it continued. It didn't just stop when they got there. We got on the truck and he still wasn't responding. We got to the hospital. He still wasn't responding. I wasn't calling on the doctors. I was calling on my Savior. Because he is faithful. But like I said, when we go into panic mode, we don't always call on him. We call our friends. We call our family. We call other people. We look to other things. Oh, I need to get a second job. I need to get a second job to pay this bill. We go try and fix it. But he didn't ask us to. He asked us to put our faith and our trust in him. 1 Peter 5 and 10 says this, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. He said, after you have suffered a little while. Now, some of us might say, it ain't been a little while, Jesus. I don't understand what a little while means, because this seemed like it's been a long while. We got to remember, his time is not our time. A minute to him is very small. An hour to him could be a second. For us, our timing is totally different. So we feel like we're suffering for a long time. God, I've been going through this for years. Jesus, please. But he said, he himself will restore you. He himself, he ain't sending nobody else to do the job. You ever call somebody to do something for you and they be like, okay, I help you. And then they call you and they say, oh, well, I can't make it, but I'm going to send such and such over here to help you. They should be able to help you because I ain't going to make it. That ain't what he said. He said, he himself, I'm going to come myself and restore you. And then I'm going to make you strong. He didn't say we weren't going to suffer, though. Remember, that came first. After you have suffered a little. So we in these trials and these troubles, and we going crazy, we in panic mode. After you went through all that craziness, then he himself will come and restore you. So what happens if we don't go through it? You know how sometimes we get in those places of trials and tribulations and we do one of these numbers? I'm just going to sit here. This is going to pass in a minute. I'm just going to sit here. Somebody going to come in that door and help me in a minute. I'm just going to sit here. I ain't going to help. It said faith without works is dead. You ever been driving through a storm? You know, some people pull over on the side of the road. They turn their flashes on. They don't go nowhere. They just sit there. I be driving through because y'all know I'm always on the road. And I don't like driving in the rain, but I do. And so when it's storming, I'm driving through the storm. And I've always seen several cars on the side of the road. And as I'm driving, I always think, well, how long are you going to sit there? What if this storm don't stop? You'll just be sitting in the storm for the rest of your life. What if rain don't stop? Thunder don't stop? You ain't going nowhere. At least if I see, you know, and there's those other ones that creep through the storm. They turn their flashes on so you know they ain't moving fast. They just creeping through the storm. I ain't going to stop, but I'm just going to go real slow. But for me, I'm like, I got to go. It's going to rain. I'm going to get wet. Let's go. Let's get through it. But 9 times out of 10, I'm going to drive myself right out of the storm. And then I can look back, and I can see the clouds that's still back there. And all the stuff, the trials and tribulations I just came through. And then I think about all the people that's still back there. And I'm like, where are y'all at? Come on, get out of that storm. But that's how we do. In some situations, some life situations, some storms that we go through, some trials and issues, we will stay right there in it. We'll stay in it. But he said, go on through it, because when you come out of it, I myself will restore you, and I'm going to make you strong. And not just strong, firm and steadfast. Firm and steadfast. When I hear those words, I think about the tree planted by the rivers of water. The roots are so strong. Nothing is going to shake it. What would it feel like if we had faith like that? What would it look like? What would it look like if we had faith like that? It would be crazy. We would see all kind of miracles happen if we had faith. I'm standing, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not moving. Because I'm standing on what my God said. What happens when we operate like that? That's part of the problem. We don't. We forget that we have the victory. We forget everything that the Lord said to us. We forget. We get amnesia. We get early dementia. What? You said what? Remind me of what that said again. We forget. And we forget about all he's done. Because up to the point where they got on that boat, he done some all kind of craziness. Like, how you not know who you just got on the boat with? If you ain't trusting, why you get on the boat with them? But that's us. We say, oh, I'm a Christian, but you don't trust your master. How can you say? We forget the love that God has for us. And I know I'm over my time, but I'm going to end with this. Understanding God's love is something that we desperately need to remember, especially in times of trouble. Knowing his love for us will strengthen our trust in him. I wrote this poem, and some of y'all may have seen it on Facebook. And it's titled, When Did God's Love Stop Being Enough? Because sometimes in life, you know, when we go through situations, we feel like people tell you, oh, God loves you. And we walk away and we say, yeah, I know he loves me, but. And you're going through crazy times and they say, you know, Jesus loves you. And everybody's like, yeah, I know he loves me, but. So I wrote this poem, and here's what it says. When did God's love stop being enough? I lost sight of love when I let blindness take over. When the world's view of love became my pursuit instead of the cross showing me the truth. I lost the promise of love when I let your voice become a memory. When the words of others became something I held on to instead of your word being what leads me to cling to you. I lost the desire to love when I put trust in those who I should have never entrusted my heart to, instead of remembering to put my trust in no man, but to always trust in you. When did God's love stop being enough? Never. Life clouded my view, empty words became my song, and pain became the norm. It's us. We lose sight of the truth. God's love is forever. His love is unconditional, and his love never fails. God's love will always be enough. It will be enough to get us through our trials, our tribulations, and everything else. When the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, at the very end, it says, and these three things remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love will be the thing that conquers all. Because let me tell you why. Because love was the cross. Love was the cross. When we lose sight of that, we lose sight of everything. We can never make it through a trial if we don't remember what he went through for us. Because his trials and tribulations don't add up to our little trials and tribulations. That's why he said we'll suffer a little, because to what he did, we suffer very little. It seems really big to us, but we serve a big God. We serve an enormous God. There's no word big enough to describe him. So to him, this is our trial. And when we stop looking at the trial like it's the big thing and start looking at him because he is the big thing, we will never overcome our troubles. So remember God's love, what he did for us, because it's done. We have the victory. Remember, he is always with us. Even in those moments where you just feel like you by yourself, you can be screaming, where are you at? And he's standing there, I'm here, but I can't say nothing. Because the teacher can't talk during the test. But just know that he is always there.